Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hear ye, the Swolecast is back for week 3. We have another special guest with us today after Tuttle has chased his dreams and finally doing projections for UCL lineups. So we're going to be talking all about week 3. If you don't know what's going to be happening in week 3, the good news is neither do we. So stick around. It's the Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com.
You came back from the Swolecast? Yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto dunes, Abby, to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
You know me, I don't do a ton of research before the show.
I've put no research into this, don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show.
To it, bro. Live a little.
Live a little. Just live a little, guys.
Welcome back. It's the Swolecast for week 3, the premier first look show where we just kind of find out together. We walk this road together, and I want to welcome in Pat Corain. People might know Pat as the guy who famously gives offensive line takes for the NFL draft on this show. And I want to say really quick, did you watch the Sunday night game with the Pats and the Dolphins, Pat?
I did, yeah.
Did you realize that the guy that caught that pass that almost had the first down, you actually mentioned in a bit on the Swolecast back in the day, Cole Strange?
I did not remember that.
True story. Right. And we have you back here. Also, just to kind of set the table, Tuttle's not here. We're moving the show because of Tuttle. Peter, you want to take it from here?
With Overzet's overview or the behind-the-scenes scheduling with Tuttle?
Yeah.
You know, Tuttle, like Kitchen mentioned, he is now deep in the soccer projection streets. That butts up against the Swolecast start time. So going forward, massive announcement. And I will say I did break this scoop in my friend tech room earlier today. Beat Davis Maddock for the scoop, actually. We will be moving the show up 30 minutes going forward, 1 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays. There's lots of ramifications for this. One, we're actually only going to get Tuttle for 45 minutes because he has a hard out at 1:45, which means Kitchen will need to do a good job hosting and getting the Tuttle's terrible take before then. This also means I will no longer be eating salads on the show because I'll be coming directly from XM Radio to the show. I'll have no time to go fix a salad to eat out of a giant metal bowl. So Kitchen, I mean, this is sending shockwaves through the industry and really changes the entire fabric of this show.
For sure. Yeah. 1 Eastern, going forward, better for marketing. Also want to just give a shout out to people. I asked you to step up last weekend. You did. We had almost 500 likes on the show. We had 7,200 viewers. And Matt D86 doing the Lord's work out there says video starts at 21:35. He's like, letting the people know on last week's stream when the actual football content starts for those that want to do that. So Matt D86, DM the Swolecast account on Twitter and get your
I feel shirt. Like that's taking on a big level of responsibility, because it's not just when it starts, it's then there's times where you're saying, and then it stops here, and then it starts back up here, and then they finally start talking about wide receivers here. Like, if you are going to take on the responsibility of actually doing timestamps for when we talk about football, that's a very intensive job.
Well, you really only have to capture about 5 minutes of the entire show, though.
Yeah. It is one of those things. Now that I have YouTube TV, you can catch up on, like, the highlights, the key clips. This could be a four-minute show, for sure.
That's pushing it. Way to hook our We've been getting some pretty monster view numbers, too, for the first look. Yeah. And you start this off, your hook is, we don't know anything, let's figure it out together. And then you say you could essentially distill the information down to 4 minutes. Way to sell it, Kitchen.
We're setting the table, Also, people that are might be tuning in for the first time, because we did have some first-time viewers last week. Pat won $2 million playing best ball. And he is reinvesting that into everything but lighting
into Frentech. I heard he was just going to deposit 100 ETH into Frentech and buy all his friends.
Karain's got the Silva lighting going on right now. So,
I adjusted the lighting before we started because it was pretty bad. And this is better than what it was before.
I like going all dark for it. All right. Davis, how was your week last week?
It was a really brutal week. I had a funeral. I had to travel. I made an F-minus swap off Puka Nacua in cash. It just was like all the worst things about football season, where you have people in your life who don't understand the sanctity of a Sunday. When you're traveling, when you have a bad team.
Are you talking about the funeral now?
Just in general, when you have to plan your life out and there are people who are like, why is that guy on his phone? Like, it just, you guys, I'm sure everyone has experienced this in their own way. When you butt up,
you weren't giving the eulogy while you were checking DraftKings, right?
No. But you guys know what I mean. Where you have, there's a group activity planned in the fall and people do not understand what a Sunday entails when you are a sicko. Like, it's not GTO. It's just not GTO. So last week was pretty brutal.
This is why fall weekends, fall weddings on the weekend should also be banned. I mean, they really should.
Davis, how did you swap off a guy that ended up being 10% owned in tournaments?
I swapped off Nacua in cash.
I know. And I'm saying he was 10% owned in tournaments.
My team was that bad. I had every bad cash play from the noon games. I had Calvin Ridley, AJ Dillon, Josh Kelly, like every play that was bad I had. So I was like, I'm drawn. Now, I didn't realize that everyone else played as bad as me, because again, I'm not at my computer. I don't have all my stuff. So I'm not able to go through and see how owned all the terrible plays were. As easily. I'm like texting Nate and Sammy, like, what do you guys think, dude? Should I swap off Puka? And it is what it is. Was a terrible swap, though. Puka Nacua to Jahan Dotson, -27 point swap. Not great.
Oh man. If only you had someone in your life that was a pro Puka guy that could
David, I guarantee you did not play. I guarantee you did not play Puka in cash. And I bet you also played Musgrave over Kincaid because you don't know ball.
I won on FanDuel by 0.02. By 0.02, like 50th in like all my things, despite like it was a brutal sweat because I had Pollard and Connor. Shout out to those who dissed Connor last week. And I was going up against Cowboys defense, which just kept on scoring points, and it was getting really annoying. So we're about to build a lineup here in a second. We're going to go over obviously just the slate in general, but before we do that, let's get to Mr. Peter Overzet's overview.
He's got that dog in him. What? He's got that dog in him. What? Overzet's overview. Come on.
All right.
Still demonetized, huh?
We're still demonetized. Yeah, which hurts. I mean, if we're getting 6,000, 7,000 views, I mean, if we're actually dialed in with our YouTube AdSense, I mean, we could be getting tens of dollars if we set that up correctly All right. As we kind of already addressed, Tuttle is not going to be here for this week's ep. He made it exactly 2 weeks before he decided we were not a priority in his life. And honestly, it's hard to blame him. Like, honestly, who could blame him? Let's get to some more uplifting news. The Swolecast crew, we absolutely dusted Clay Matthews last week in the 5K Challenge DoorDash and Clay Matthews Sunday Football Series. Our team, as many viewers will remember, we put up 150.62 points. We had Goff, we had T. Higgins, we had James Cook. While Clay Matthews, in this contest, who certainly did not make his own lineup, played Joshua Kelly and Adam Bagel Troutman. What a loser. Send me a head-to-head, Clay Matthews. Now, for some more sobering news.
Oh, no. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. I know what he's
getting. I forgot I had one of my props out here.
Yeah.
Now, for more sobering news, over the past week, I've essentially been catfished and led astray and rug pulled by two of my co-hosts on this show. Let me explain. Let's first start with David Kitchen, who recently launched a newsletter called Cavish that claims to be geared toward men in their 30s and 40s trying to live a little. And in his most recent post, Kitchen tried to Trojan horse an affiliate link to Adidas under the guise of a shoe sale. But that isn't even the real crime. I was happy to click his affiliate link to support him. No, I said, sure, let me get one of these pairs of shoes that I certainly don't need. And this is what shows up at my door. Shoes with a bored fucking ape on it that I'm now holding up like Paris Hilton on Jimmy Fallon's couch. I mean, seriously, Kitchen, what the hell? David,
you
Kitchen,
bought it too. Way, I did not know. I've got the same shoe. You did not paper hand 10 apes. I did. So imagine
It's way funnier that they showed up to David's house and he had to look that shoe in the face.
Like I opened up because the other part of the shoe is amazing, and so then I had to say, "Is it me? Am I just drawn to these cartoon apes?"
Hey, God, this is the real question. Have you gotten any other angry people who got influenced by you who bought these shoes? Or does this mean I'm the only one clicking your affiliate link?
No, there were other people buying shoes. They love their shoes. I regret that you and I were the only ones that bought these particular two pairs of shoes.
You and I having matching Bored Ape shoes. It really is the best timeline. But I will say, Kitchen, you should be legally required to wear your Bored Ape shoes around the clock as a scarlet letter reminder for all of your Bored Ape transgressions over the years. All right, but let's move on to my other co-host, Davis Matic, who has now posted about friend tech on social media multiple times now. And I did decide to take the plunge. I scrounged up enough ETH and I bought his key. And what was I met with this morning? The very first post I saw was a list of leg workouts he did at the gym. It's the worst 0.163 ETH I've ever spent in my life. That could have been four pairs of Bored Ape tennis shoes that I spent on Davis Matic's friend tech. But I think the real concern here, Davis, and you might need to help me out here, is what about us OG supporters on the Davis Matic TakeCast Patreon? How long until the Ahsoka content migrates over to friend tech? Because I think it's a slippery slope. I mean, what are you going to do for us core supporters? Are you going to forget us on the Patreon, Davis?
No, it stays the same. Already we're recording. I'm recording with Brian and John in the morning. Same thing as always. The keys are the keys. The Patreon is the Patreon. You just, it's a menu. You take what you like and you leave the rest. And if you don't want to spend any money, I do hours and hours of free content every week too. So people can just, they can have what they'd like.
Hours and all hours, right? Or hour and hour of free content?
Hours and hours, David. I stand by it.
Maybe what I should do to boost my friend tech numbers, we'll see if anyone else is a similar size shoe as me. Maybe I give these away to one of my friend tech
holders. The Bored Ape giveaway. Hey,
why don't you do something for your Man's Coin bag holders?
Take that little Bored Ape patch off and put a Man's Coin patch on.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
I thought about doing that with Moon cool. Cats. I really did. And you cannot see it when you have your shoes tied. I wore them the other night. But you know that
what
they're...
is so hilarious is I really actually like this shoe otherwise. I
know. Yeah.
It's a cool shoe. It's a nice shoe. It was very cheap, but there's a reason why it was cheap.
No, how does it not on the website? How does it not show the ape?
It doesn't show. Hey, show the inside.
Because they're trying to sell them, Davis.
What am I showing, Kitchen?
The inside of the tongue. I'm not sure if you've seen, but they are an accessory.
It's two red hearts.
It's the heart glasses that the boar ape wears.
It is
terrible. Are you done with the review, or do you have
that
more?
That would be enough for me to never purchase an Adidas product again. If they sent that to my house, I would just be like, "That is it. Absolutely never again." Like that company, no chance. They're out forever.
But yeah, Dave, 9 teams with implied team totals over 25 points this week. Back to you.
Someone said, not going to lie, I forgot Pat was here.
Yeah, so did Pete. No mention in the overview.
Here's the thing. We didn't book Corain until after I'd written the Overzets overview. I literally have a calendar reminder where I write the Overzets overview in the morning. Didn't know Corain was booked, so he didn't make it into the script. I'm sorry.
Incredible. Sorry. All right. Well,
I wasn't booked at that point. Pete, I believe I was booked after.
If it makes you feel any better, I asked JJ before you. And JJ is, quote,
makes
unquote,
me feel worse.
Busy until Friday.
I asked JJ, Reeves, Silva, and Thorman, and they all said no. And so I was like, you know what?
Silva gave you the not wave?
They all said they're too busy, dude.
They didn't win
$2 million last year. So they're quite busy.
I put aside some time just for you.
Do you know why those guys are idiots? Because I know the calculus they're doing in their head. They're going like, how can this benefit me like in any way whatsoever? And sure, you're not going to get any followers. You're going to probably look dumb. You're probably going to waste an hour of your life, but it'll do wonders for your brand in your Q rating. When you come on this show, your Q rating goes up. And God, I've seen some of Silva's takes out there. He could use a Q rating boost. So if he's going to be turning his nose up to this show, have fun staying poor in the Q rating streets, Silva.
All right, let's move on to this week. It's, I don't know, last week was fine. It was fine. It wasn't as
it was
bad
just
as week
a,
one.
It was a hard slate. The value options, like AJ Dillon and Josh Kelly, everyone in the world's been burned by those guys 400 times. Like
Don't play running backs against the Titans. And I'm saying that with a running back that might be valuable against the Titans.
Literally the number one play of the week is against the Titans this week.
Are we doing the run funnel, pass funnel stuff?
No.
Again,
yeah, I think
no.
We are.
Titans are big football, pass funnel.
Fantasy football has moved on past this. We've moved past this. Like, sure.
Not the
Josh
rhetoric.
Kelly, Jerome Ford is going to get 14 carries. He is going to score one touchdown. He is going to get 6 targets. He's going to catch 4 of them for 26 yards, and he is going to be a perfectly cromulent play for $4,800 DraftKings dollars.
I think.
Kitchen,
the thing,
by the way,
though,
do you
like,
have? Oh, go ahead, Pat.
Well, last week, you know, like if the run, you're saying the run funnel stuff was talked about a lot, which it was, but Kelly was still chalk. And so I kind of feel like if it's not really priced in, even if it's kind of being bandied about, then we should factor it in. I mean, the Titans are very good against the run. It's not just like teams like to pass against them. They're good at stopping the run.
I will say, though, that you have a contributing factor. Not only do you have the pass funnel thing, but there are so many Kareem Hunt slappies out there that think he's like Jahmyr Gibbs that just got signed to this backfield.
They've been in my mentions all morning.
The Kareem Hunt slappies are just out of control. He's Melvin Gordon. He's Kenyon Drake. He is not anything that is going to change Jerome.
Dude,
Ford
he got $4 million in incentives, dude. They didn't sign him because they had Nick Chubb.
I can't with the slappy.
Pat, as far as like injury news that you're monitoring, that you're providing to, you know, people that follow Legendary Upside and legendaryupside.com, what are you out there looking like? Is Anthony Richardson for sure not playing this week? Are we getting Minshew this week?
Well, you know, this isn't really what I do at legendaryupside.com. I just kind of sit back and wait and see if he's practicing. And then I put out an article on Friday. I don't think he's playing though. I actually wrote up the Colts like he's not playing. And it's probably better for Michael Pittman that he's not playing. Because I think this matchup sort of sets up as one where you'd probably rather have Minshew out there. They're pretty good in coverage. So, you know, I think Minshew probably means better things for Pittman, who's the only guy in this passing offense I'm interested in.
Davis, your boy Patrick Mahomes up against the Bears this week. They had the highest team total. How much Patrick Mahomes will you have this week?
Probably not all that much.
Really?
Although their passing tree. Well, I guess it's a little bit easier this week because there's a couple minimum price guys. But Tony didn't practice today. Richie James sounds like he might even head to the designated for return IR with an MCL sprain. So maybe their passing tree gets a little bit more narrow. You know, maybe Tony doesn't play, James doesn't play. You assume that Justin Ross really can't play more than like 9 snaps in a football game at this stage in his career. Someone said the most depressing thing to me earlier today in Pete's Discord. They said every Richie James team could have been a Puka Nacua team. And that just, buddy, that hit me in the heart. I haven't really recovered.
Think about the Michael Wilson teams.
No, we're coping. We're coping. Yeah. We're coping on Michael Wilson because Dobbs actually seems like, I don't know. He's like basically Sam Howell. It's fine.
It is crazy that the Chiefs have a 30-point team total, the greatest quarterback of all time, and one of the easiest defensive matchups going against at home. And we have like zero DFS or fantasy.
Sky is 4,400, gets the touchdown last week. Saw its snap share decrease a little bit, but that really was just because Watson played a little bit more. You figure that Watson probably just subsumes whatever Richie James left. Like Kadarius Toney feels maxed out at like 19 snaps right now. Then maybe that'll change. I actually think this is what is going to end up happening. I mean, just broadly for the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to get to a spot where they have to win games. Now, it's not going to be this week. It's not going to be next week. They play the Jets next week. But they're just going to have to put Toney out there because they're just getting nothing from Sky and Watson and MVS. And they're just like, dude, we got to have someone who can get open. Like, just
how can we get excited? I mean, Sky Moore at 8% of the targets week one, 10% week two. The highest two target percentages over 2 weeks for the Chiefs were both week one. Kadarius Toney 14%, Rashi Rice 14%. No one even eclipsed 13% in week two, and they were led by Watson and Toney. It's an awful situation.
The thing with Sky, too, when you look at the first reads, he was at 10% in week one, and then that dropped to 6% last week. Like they're not game planning with him in mind at all.
No,
would you say Sky is the limit?
No.
Unfortunately,
not.
I mean, the nice thing I would say is that if at any point you get the Kansas City wide receiver rotation right before the market does, you are going to get exponentially paid off because the ownership on these guys, other than Kelsey, is going to be zero. And I mean, Hardman had a 3-touchdown game last year. Juju had like a couple games. Sky feels like a guy who could have the gadget 3-touchdown game. I mean, he's just got to tell Tony to line
up
on the wrong
side. We
don't
really
need to talk
about Sky just yet. We're still on quarterbacks. So we've spent way too much time on Sky. We got to start With only 45 minutes
related to how you play Mahomes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Other quarterbacks that you like this week, Pete?
Well, I think the top play is probably Lamar Jackson, 7,700. Yes. This Colts secondary has been pretty bad. I think that's going to be fun. You now get Mark Andrews back in it. And then you do have that game with the 54-point total with Kirk Cousins and Justin Herbert. I think both of those guys obviously are pretty interesting in that spot.
Are you worried at all about Lamar Jackson and just not being, I don't know, like
he's maybe last awesome. Week. He's like looked probably the best he ever has in his career throwing the ball.
They're just not designing rushes.
Is that supposed to say last week? It was like all the rushes were in the second half and they were not off of like designed runs. And that's really what we were wanting out of Lamar. Also, didn't they have a couple rushing touchdowns last week that were Lamar Jackson? It was frustrating.
Well, week one, they had three, and then Edwards scored one. So I think being worried about Lamar Jackson is silly. He's going to have multiple 40 burgers this year. The offense looks really good.
I'm looking, though, at the like projections that we have in RG, and I wish Tuttle was here instead of Kareem, because I want – like he's, like, not even in the top 10, top 15.
Really might not be. I didn't realize I'm – like, Dave's asked five people. Pete asked some people. Kitchen's asking everybody.
I didn't include you in the Overzets overview. Kitchen just said he wished our regular host was here. Davis tried 19 other people. And this is how we treat a multimillionaire who was willing to come on the show.
Think about how little clout I had before I won two.
I'm starting to see why Silva and JJ didn't want to come on the show.
Who are some of the guys that you like this week? Here's your time to shine.
I like the Kirk Cousins shout. I think that's a really good one. I think Trevor Lawrence is a little bit interesting as like a very clear bounce back candidate. His success rate's been pretty solid this year, but just, you know, kind of been dealing with like some kind of fluky. Like that fumble return thing. Like his EPA per play, I think, really understates his upside. And then I would say Tua's in a really good spot. This Denver pass defense looks real bad.
Do you like him more if Waddle does not play? So you can play a little Berrios, you can play a little Durham Smythe, or do you think that is just an overall net negative on the offense to not have him out there?
It's a net negative, but you're playing Tyreek if Waddle doesn't go.
Sure.
And then I do think you can do, I think River Craycraft is actually, in play.
Berrios ran, he's 46 routes to Craycraft 24, though.
Right, but Craycraft was outside for all of his routes, and I think would maybe be more of a direct replacement for Waddle.
Okay. I hopped in a couple of the early Battle Royale contests when it dropped, and River Craycraft had a higher ADP than DJ Moore at the start.
Well, wow. Justified, right?
As I love comes at
you. If you played college football DFS back in the day, you know, River Craycraft, Washington State's finest. The opposite side of that Jacksonville game is Houston. And, like, they've actually looked good throwing the ball with CJ Stroud.
Well, they're like plus 4% pass rate over expected, getting absolutely blown out in every game.
Yeah.
Tank Dell is like, he's the short king who was promised. I mean, he looked phenomenal.
He might be the chalkiest guy this week.
No, Ford will be.
Don't know about that.
The money's out there for you, David. If you want to fade Jerome Ford in cash, you're gonna get to as much action as you can possibly handle.
I mean, Jamal Williams week one, last week, Kelly.
Yeah, Jamal Williams stinks, though. Like, he stinks hard.
Kelly wasn't much better, but like Ford, we don't even know what his role is going to be. It could be Pierre Strong coming in and catching all the passes for this pass funnel.
I mean, that's like literally insane. Like, anything is possible other than that.
Don't you think,
Ford's
though, that
success
this
rate's
might
been
be
low? I don't think he sets up like he's kind of you're betting he can rip off some long plays like he did last week. But
the thing that's different too is, at least with the Josh Kelly play, you could hang your hat on, this is going to be a functional offense. They're going to move the ball. Justin Herbert's going to get them in scoring position. I mean, Deshaun Watson is so ass. Kitchen must be advancing 0% of his best ball teams. Like, I want nothing to do with this offense in general from a macro standpoint. It is so bad right now.
I was actually going to say the opposite, because like the only thing we've heard about this Titans defense is that it's like a pass funnel defense. So if Deshaun Watson, if they can figure out their offensive line and he can like evade some of these rushers for the Titans, like they are going to get a lot of passing yards. Like the secondary for the Titans, not great. The front is. And so that's where I would want to be targeting.
I mean, if Elijah Moore could like just do 100% of a cool thing instead of 98% of a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, he like makes a sweet catch and then he just takes that right foot and just puts it out of bounds. It's just, come on, dude. Just get like, I don't know. They're close to being more functional.
Okay. Speaking of guys that we want to be more functional, Justin Fields, anyone have any sort of,
I think you can play a little bit of Fields this week, like totally naked or playing with Kelsey or whatever. The Chiefs defense has looked great through two games, but that feels like a real situation of when they start to give it up. Because it is like a pretty talent barren unit, and he should be like relatively low owned. I like Goff against Atlanta, get at home. Now St. Brown might not play. That would make me feel differently because then they would be pretty bereft of talent. But I mean, you can lose with Kyle Pitts for the millionth week in a row. You could play Drake London. I mean, we saw Ritter threw the ball 39 times last week when they got behind the Packers.
Everyone but Pitts.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could probably schedule Kyle Pitts' funeral for like a Thursday instead of a weekend.
I still have a little bit of belief in Kyle Pitts.
I want to try to time like the Pico bottom of Kyle Pitts. I'm just waiting for that week where he's 2,900 and 5% owned, and then I'm like, all right, let's do it. Let's
two for 27 in a game that Ritter threw 39 times, that the Falcons win, and that Jonnu Smith goes 4 for 47. It's not what you
did have a couple red zone targets in that game though. If you're actually watching the quad box,
he has a 30% air yard share, which leads all tight ends, and he's run around on 92% of dropbacks. So I think there's like, he's like a super inconsistent deep threat with on a Desmond Ridder team. So I'm not like trying to paint this massive, you know.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz or Kyle Pitts rest of season. You know, that's where we're at right now. So
I'd take Pitts, but. I get
all right.
It.
Let's
who else we should can I mention one more quarterback here real quick?
Sure.
So I know by like expected point stuff, he's been like overachieving, but you got Jordan Love at 5,600. We just got the news. Christian Watson's back at practice today. Matt LaFleur has been calling really good games. I mean, for his price,
aren't you worried
versus the Saints? No.
Aren't you worried about the Saints defense? They look legit.
No. No.
Pat, back me up here.
I actually do think it's not a great matchup for Jordan Love.
Let's go.
They don't get to the quarterback. they don't get to the quarterback, but they've been very good in coverage. And Jordan Love is currently last in completion percentage over expected. I think that's partially related to the fact that he hasn't had Watson and he's dealing with, you know, a receiver core that's not very good, but it's still not great if you're going up against a good coverage unit and you're inaccurate. I'd rather have him against like a defense that can get pressure because then he runs around and then it can be a little fun.
Yeah.
I think it's could kind of be a coming back down to earth week for him.
Yeah. Give me Russ or CJ instead of Jordan Love this week.
I'm really surprised you didn't lead the show with Gardner Minshew. I really thought that was the direction you were.
I mean, he is 5,100.
Gardner Minshew and cash.
I think that Tank Dell is going to let you do whatever you want in cash, basically. Tank Dell and a tight end. Like, anytime you have a min price receiver, you don't have to, like, the tough times.
Here, Dave, let's do a little ball knowing quiz for you. Are you playing Dalton Kincaid at 3,400 or Luke Musgrave at 3,300? Do you know ball enough to pick the right answer?
Yeah, Kincaid.
Okay. All right. You know ball. You pass. Dave knows ball.
All right, let's move on. Let's create a DraftKings lineup. Unless, Patrick, you want to derail the show again?
just join being here, Dave.
Just happy to be part of the gang.
Pat, I'm going to let you have the first pick
hang
of
on,
the show.
Kitchen, let me,
before we start, let's get to Pete with some important... Yes.
I am glad to see that despite just being a total loser, Clay Matthews is back out here trying to take our money in the 5K challenge, DoorDash and Clay Matthews Sunday football series. It is tempting to go back to the well with a head-to-head against Clay Matthews and just dunk on that loser. But I think today we're going to be tossing this lineup in the 5K Royal Caribbean weekend throwdown. It just sounded so tropical that I can't resist it, guys.
It's crazy. All right, let's start with you, Pat.
Shouldn't they go on with like the punch there instead of throwdown? Weekend punch, you know, give it a little.
I agree.
Missed opportunity. I'm gonna go. I don't know. So I'm not sure like where the DFS discourse is at. You know, I'm kind of in the.
This is a first look show, here. So we create.
We
the
set
discourse,
the discourse.
Basically.
Okay, we set it. That's good. I'm gonna go Jordan Addison.
Ooh,
I think the Chargers, they are letting up the highest rate of explosive plays, explosive passing plays this year. A lot of that's due to having played the Dolphins, who put up 17, 15 plus yard passing plays against them, which is absolutely nuts. But, you know, the Vikings are set up to do the same, and Addison is really delivering downfield, got a really high ADOT. And he's seeing a lot of single coverage because of Justin Jefferson. So I like him this week.
All righty. I'm going to take this time then to insert my own pick. And we'll go with Mike Williams on the other side.
And you've picked a good player.
You say that every week. Week one, you said that about Puka Nacua. Week two, you said that about James Conner. Week three, you'll be saying it about Mike Williams, who has just had a little bit of bad luck and is in an explosive spot. And is this game, if it goes off, he'll be good. Like, I don't know how chalky he's going to be at 6K because people are going to be going everywhere
he
else.
Won't
but
be,
I don't think.
I'll take Herbert then. I'll just get it out of the way, and I'll take Justin Herbert with my pick. Set up our game stack. Pete.
All right. I'm going to pick the same guy that I picked last week, at least in one of our lineups. I want to go back to the Zay Flowers well at 5,400. I know his targets came way down, Mark Andrews back, but Odell Beckham seems like he's not going to play this week. And I just love this spot for the Ravens pass game against the Colts.
I like it. Okay. The Colts secondary is like one of the biggest messes ever.
Who?
Zay Flowers.
So
thank you.
The guy with no video on comes on and says, "Who?"
I was so confused at who said that. Shout out producer Sosa for his weekly cameo. All right.
Back to you, Pat.
So I think it's back to you, Patrick.
I'm going to go Kyle Pitts. Fuck it.
Oh, no.
Why?
Wow.
He's 3,900.
Explain yourself.
He's 39. I was thinking, I might go Sam Laporta because, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown might be out and he's only 4,000. I look one spot lower. There's Kyle Pitts.
The prophecy is coming true. Week one, 4,500. Week two, 4,200. Week three, 3,900. We're going to get $3,600 Kyle
when
Pitts
is he,
next
when
week.
Does he get, when does he get to 2,900? That's when I start. When it's like him or Durham Smythe, that's when I start getting interested.
Yeah.
But when? But why would be my question? Is it just because he's 3,900 and you want to play Pitts under 4K?
I mean, that's the reason.
There's a guy we have to play in this lineup now to build on what Pat did. His name rhymes with Shamir Phibbs.
Yeah. I'll take Gibbs. I actually don't think he's that strong of a play this week. I think Cook, ETN are way better, but that's fine.
I agree with you, Davis, but I'm like, if Kyle Pitts, if we're getting a negative game script where they're throwing a bunch, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs has to be part of this. And Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't practice today, has the toe injury. They're saying he's day to day. Jahmyr Gibbs isn't.
Sorry, right.
I know I jumped the line for my pick there, but I was just trying to help my boy Pat out after a Q rating hit with that.
All right,
selection.
I'll take.
After the week, let's see. It's going to be even worse. It's going to be even a bigger Q rating.
I'll take ETN as my pick.
Nice.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, should be the, this actually should be a script those, where you can get 20 carries.
Those Tank Bigsby bags feeling pretty heavy right now.
Not as heavy as your Deshaun Watson bags.
Listen, my highest owned player is Tannehill. So after last week, he's basically the QB1 now.
How many teams have you got and looked at and you're like, God, yes, I have so much Puka Nacua, and then Deshaun Watson is the quarterback on every single one of those teams?
It's like everyone, like on Spike Week, you can see your exposure, and then players that are out for the season, there's this line through it. And it's like Dobbins.
Not a lot of Dobbins.
And then some other guys who just are not doing great. But there are – I am advancing 25% of my DK Millie teams. So nice. Good half for you, a pack man. Coming up. Okay, we need – I'm just going to put Jets D in there against New England just to see what we can get. And so we have a tight end and flex at 46.50.
And, there's a – if we want to spend up a little bit, there's a flex play that's all right.
Who?
Jerome Ford. I'm slapping with Jerome Ford. I don't care.
No.
It's very slappy. If he's gonna be chalk, I mean if everyone was afraid of the
Jerome Ford, Jerome Ford was on pace to be on like 37% of my best ball teams if he didn't get injured in the preseason.
Why don't we go Nico? Hear me out.
I got a good one, guys. We're betting on this game. Eckler isn't playing again. Josh Kelly, sign me up, get the double stack up at 5,400.
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
Fine by me.
God, I'm having a good show.
Yeah, you I'm gonna play a bunch of Josh Kelly, honestly.
Pete, yeah, I just threw him up. I like the setup for him.
Pete, ever since you bought those shoes, you've had some really good diamond feet. All right, let's move on to running back now. And we just talked about Josh Kelly. We've talked about Ford. Let's talk about.
I mean, imagine not being so long on Tony Pollard, you can't even see the horizon, and then passing up on it. Dude got 33 touches in a no-doubter win against the Jets.
But they were okay. So here is my complaint here about his touches is that they had multiple plays inside the five where he was not getting the ball.
He leads the NFL in carries inside the red zone. I'm not sweating it in any way. He leads the NFL in expected points. Like, it's all window dressing. Tony Pollard is going to score the most fantasy points of any non-quarterback this year, unless he gets hurt. So just
I watched the tape, and I hope he does, because I drafted him a ton of them. But as someone who had him in FanDuel last week, it was frustrating when they would bring in Rico when they were on the 1 and 2 yard line. Like, he did not get any a lot of. He could have had a monster day. And that's the thing about Pollard the first 2 weeks is that these have just been like kind of mediocre games for him, and he still has got over 20. Like,
yes,
there is an eruption spot for him. So, I mean, I agree there. Pete, any other running backs in that kind of upper tier division you like?
Well, I mean, Bijan is just so firmly in play every single week now. And I would argue his price is still too cheap. Like, he feels to me like he should be like a weekly $8,500 kind of guy.
He's so goddamn good. I mean, the ball knowers just have to be drooling watching him. Although it's funny, the ball knowers have to be sweating, don't know which button to press meme. Like, Bijan is him, or Tyler Algier is actually really underrated. Like, the ball knowers are very confused over which RB they need to praise more in that offense. But Bijan is like if he starts, if they do give him goal line work and they just kind of relegate Algier to like mop up duty between the 20s, like keep Bijan fresh type stuff. I mean, Bijan, you do your legendary upside stuff. Like Bijan could be like 6.5 targets per game, 3 green zone touches per game. Like he could go nuts.
Yeah, the receiving stuff's been really nice for him. He's a 24% target share, so that leads to all running backs. And he's been efficient as a receiver, and then he's been an amazing rusher. He needs a bigger share of the team attempts to really like completely go off, but he's a rookie running back, so you know you would expect
to roll. He's at 20 points per game, and they're not even letting him get into like third gear.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is too, is they haven't even been forced into any truly gross negative game scripts, right? Like they've won both of these games. Now they're on the road against the Lions, the following week on the road against the Jags. Like if we get them down 10, like the amount of Bijan we could see in the passing game could be incredible from a PPR perspective.
All right. Pete, have you changed your tone on James Conner since last week?
Hang on, let me ask me if I can, you know, envision all these things.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to ask you, after last week, you see the usage.
James
you
Conner
want me to
is
take
the...
an L on James Conner when he's up to 6,300 against the best defense in football?
The Cowboys?
That's going to be a no.
Take your win and get out, game. Dude.
Cash out, Kitchen.
Cash out.
The cash out button is right there. Dave, we'll let you cash out for... We'll let you cash out for an 8% victory. Do you want to take that? I just realized Dave's wearing a freaking Adidas hat, just doing more marketing for the 4-Day Yacht Club right now.
Super light hat. This is my pickleball hat.
Stuffing his coffers with my dirty Bored Ape shoe money.
All right, let's I will say that Jerome Ford on FanDuel looks like a lock. I just don't think he...
Why would he be a lock on FanDuel but not on DraftKings?
Because if you look at the prices on DraftKings, he's 4,800, and there still is like some...
It's like as cheap as like, a running back could get on DraftKings,
in
Dave.
The 6K range, but look, he's 5,600 on...
I mean, okay, Dave, let's play a game.
And on FanDuel, you want to get your... Hold on. You want to get your premium... it's different than DraftKings. Davis, don't shake your head because you're not in the FanDuel cash reads like I am. You want to pay up for tight end.
True.
And so you need a cheap running back.
I did not play. I did not play on FanDuel last week. I barely had enough time to punt off a Mazda Miata on DraftKings. So I'm doing my best over here. Dave, let's go points per dollar, guys. You tell me if you'd like any of these guys more than Jerome Ford. Khalil Herbert, 5,100. Do you want Jerome Ford or Khalil Herbert?
In cash or tournaments? Tournaments, give me Herbert.
Jesus Christ. All right, Zach Moss. $5,500 against the Baltimore Ravens.
In tournaments?
Yeah.
In tournaments,
I don't really
like
him. I don't really like him.
Damian Pierce, $5,200 against the Jaguars.
No, like, why are you just giving me, like bad running backs? That's not the point.
I literally sorted by points per dollar on RotoGrinders.com.
Yeah, flip the build. Like, don't give me bad. Don't give me like
but
Miles
there are,
Sanders.
There are really good punt plays at wide receiver. Tank and the Miami guys if Waddle doesn't play.
And this is what I'm saying is that you don't have to go with Jerome Ford if you don't want to. It's the whole.
That's true. I throw a running back here all the time.
Dave, that was very philosophical. You don't have to. It's true. You don't.
You just don't know. Okay. Go ahead.
Thanks for throwing to me, Dave. Yeah, I wanted to throw out Ramondre Stevenson, who
yes.
I think.
And yeah, Kenneth Walker, too, like these guys that are guaranteed touches.
Well, yeah, I was going
to seems
talk
like
about
Pat
Stevenson.
Was specifically honing in on Ramondre, and you just wanted to toss in another guy there, Dave.
he's got a 73% snap share this year. I think, you know, the Ezekiel Elliott stuff has not really been that big of a concern. He has all the inside of the 5-yard line attempts. He's got a 9% target share, which is disappointing, but Zeke isn't stealing a ton there. And this could be a game where they check down a lot as they deal with Jets getting pressure.
Yeah. And like you said, Kenneth Walker also getting a ton of snaps there for Seattle. Those are the guys that we should be targeting. That we know. All right. Yep. Any other running back takes before we move on to receiver?
Yeah, I got I got one more. Go ahead, Peter.
Oh no, you go for it, Davis.
Well, I did mention ETN in passing, but I think this is like your classic doesn't project for a huge receiving workload, weird price tag at 6,900. Most lineups will probably just go up to ETN or up to Pollard and or all the way down to the 4 or 5K guys we just discussed. So you're thinking like 9% ownership, and he's amazing. I mean, he's so good. And Bigsby is like at zero after how bad he played in week one. They even brought in Dearness Johnson last week. Peter and Pat already mentioned, you know, just expecting a rebound for the Jaguars offense. I think you're looking at like 18 carries, 4 targets. And if the Bigsby stuff, if he really is at zero and ETN is getting goal line carries, then, I mean, same thing we were just talking about with Bijan earlier. Like, this is a guy who can average 20 fantasy points a game.
I got to ask Pat one more because I know this player is very near and dear to his heart as he is mine. What are we doing with Breece Hall at 5,600 this week?
Taking L's.
I think we're waiting. We're waiting. Like he's getting a third of the snaps. He's, you know, not yet a year removed from the ACL tear. He's not supposed to be 100% till around week 5. They've talked about having a plan for him. My read on the Dalvin Cook signing at the time was like, this is to help get Breece back to 100%. And that's how they're playing it. So I don't think we're going to see Breece Hall get the workload we need for another probably 2 weeks.
Tony Jones, do we know the running back situation in New Orleans?
Kendre Miller, good to go this
Kendre
week.
Miller.
Ooh.
4,300 on DraftKings for the Galaxy Brain Tournament, bros.
And also Sam Millerson, Brian Robinson Jr., a lock.
Yeah. He's a, not a lock, but
Pete is in my nightmares because I remember saying like how I owned so much Antonio Gibson. And he said, really? No Robinson. I said, no, zero. And he's like, he would be a guy that you would like. I would think he'd be a guy that you would like and be wanting to draft. And wow. Every time he does something good, I think about that. And what Pete said to me just lingers there. Let's move on to
real estate in your dreams in the same way your stupid shoes own real estate in mine.
But is Miller going to be Galaxy Brain? Because I think he's a priest.
Yes, he's going to be super Galaxy Brain. He will not be popular. I bet most sites that drive ownership will have Tony Jones Jr. projected as the lead back.
Yeah. And even just using the sentiment, the best ball ADP sentiment index, I mean, Kendra's like ADP just never budged all summer, even when things were kind of breaking right or whatever. Like he's just not a player the market seems to get excited about.
Packers are not good against the run.
All right,
segue us to our next topic.
Yes, wide receiver. Because by this time Tuttle had been long gone. We haven't even gotten to a receiver. So.
Yeah, how long is the show? Because I actually do have some stuff I gotta
Well,
do
it was a lot shorter before you joined. So let's get on to wide receiver.
If you would have just more efficiently mentioned Kenneth Walker and Ramondre Stevenson in the same breath, we wouldn't have had to do all of this.
Yeah. Let's roundabout analysis and just get to the point. Adam Thielen or Tank Dell, Pat?
Tank Dell, please.
That's how we're kicking off there the wide receiver drama.
There we go. I want to know the cheap wide receiver takes. People will play Adam Thielen this week. He's under 4K. He's 3.9K. Tank Dell is 3.6K. Like Davis.
Yes.
I know you're doing something else right now. I need you to focus in on receivers.
Let's We're check out when Tank? Davis's last Friend Tech post was. 2 minutes ago.
Oh, no. David,
he just shared his favorite punt on the UCL slate. That's what we're doing right now, Davis.
Hey, buddy, if you spend your Ethereum on a Friend Tech key, you get access to me 24/7. I did hear Dave try and mention Tank Dell and Adam Thielen in the same sentence. To which I say, grow up and get serious. You can't make me play Adam Thielen when a guy who I liked at the University of Houston is like a legit smash at 3,600. Like I made I made Liam draft Tank Dell on a BBM team this summer, and he was like, oh, dude, he's got a terrible RAS score. And I said, dude, it's Short King summer. You got to pay attention to the Short Kings. And Tank Dell might be the Short King who's promised. He might even be more of a Short King than our wide receiver 16 through two games, Tutu Atwell. Speaking of Short Kings, Wandale activated and playing for the Giants tomorrow on Thursday night. The Short King summer, it started out as a bit. It might be real. You might actually need the Short Kings to win
Davis,
on underdog this year.
I don't want to get you too excited, but what if Saquon Barkley doesn't go and they use Wandale out of the backfield?
As an extension of the run game.
People forget that Wandale was recruited to the University of Nebraska, the University of Nebraska, as a running back. People forget. I don't forget.
I also, can we also just marvel that there's been like lots of long think pieces about how the too high, you know, safeties and the cover two is like funneling everything
but
underneath.
But the literal Davis solve is to play 5-7 guys.
Yes, Short King summer. Who needs to read a 10,000-word think piece when you just have Davis saying yeah. Short King summer?
Because I've been having this argument with people. I mean, this is a much larger meta conversation about the NFL, but I've been having this argument with people specifically about bidding on Tutu last week with some of my co-managers. We're like, dude, he weighs 155 pounds. He's going to break down. I'm like, you guys don't understand. Literally, the easiest way to bypass two high safeties is have a guy who's so small, he can just squeeze through. He can literally just squeeze through the two high safeties because he's 5'7", 155 pounds. You know who's a lot easier to see? Traylon Burks is a lot easier to see on a football field than Wandale Robinson.
Davis, you might as well say teams are drafting these guys because they're going to have to pay less in like food and nutrition for them around the clubhouse because they don't eat as many calories.
I unironically believe that Short King summer will continue unabated as long as NFL defenses keep doing this cover too, because the easiest thing to do is to throw these little 7-yard routes to these shifty guys beneath the safeties and just let them be water bugs and run around.
Okay,
Short King summer, dude.
Let's.
I am Ryan. I literally am worried about this. Ryan Clucci, I literally am worried about Deuce Vaughn taking over for Pollard because you literally cannot see him until he gets to the second level of the defense. I'm very worried.
And Dowdle taking over goal line touches. Pete, close your eyes. Imagine a guy who plays for a team that's going to be losing a lot this year. They're always behind, it seems like. He's playing. Again, in a game, he's expected to be behind. He's really the wide receiver one, 9 targets, 7 catches last week, and a touchdown. People are going to love him this week, or they should love him this week. What are your thoughts on Nico Collins?
Why did P have to have his eyes closed for that?
Yeah, Kitchen's really messing up. You're supposed to have me in.
Okay, hold on.
That
hold
hasn't
on.
Happened yet.
Close your eyes. You're thinking Nico Collins. What if I told you you're actually thinking of Adam Thielen, who had 7 catches and a touchdown for a team that's going to be playing behind this week against the Seahawks on the road in the late hammer game? That's all I'm saying with Adam Thielen, and we can move on.
He's all yours, Kitchen. More Adam Thielen for you to play in DFS because no one else is playing him.
Tank Dell's a trap. I said it. Justin Jefferson or Tyreek
Dave,
Hill.
Do you ever bother coming to this
Justin
show
Jefferson
with anything
or
other than what happened last week?
Dude, I've never seen someone so prepared. He's setting up his whole late swap strategy for Adam Thielen.
Yeah, Davis, you would think that Davis would listen to that as the guy who makes negative EV swaps 2 out of every 3 weeks. All right, Jefferson or Tyreek?
Jefferson for me.
Tyreek.
Would you consider playing them both?
Pretty hard. DraftKings giving us a $60,000 salary cap.
Don't you just think that the $9,000 guy ends up being owned a lot more than the $9,300 guy? Like, you could get like a 5% delta in ownership between the two.
You think so?
That is my guess. I mean, obviously it's Wednesday and there's like 4 injuries that we don't even know about that are going to happen because that's the way the NFL's worked this year. I guess the other thing that could shift it for me being wrong is that people just really want to stack that game, that people really want to do like Herbert, Mike Williams, Justin Jefferson. So I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's going to be more fun to build that game.
It It really, I promise you, it is not hard to build a Jefferson Tyreek team. It's going to take one thing for cash games.
Adam Thielen.
You know what it is? Well, no. I mean, it, Adam Thielen or Tank in that spot, but Minshew will be the guy you'll need to pay. Because Ford, any one of the 6K running backs, and then one of the cheap Tank or Thielen.
You stacking it up with Kyler like, Granson?
Chig or Kylan Granson in the tight end spot, and then an easy flex play for 6K. Like, it can be done and probably will be the optimal cash game strategy come Sunday. All right. Other receivers that you are looking at this week, Pat?
You know, I didn't mind your Mike Williams one, I got to say. He was seeing a lot more underlying volume last week. He did get a bit unlucky, I thought. If you look at the season-long profiles side-by-side with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, they look very, very similar now. So I think in this game environment, it's a good one.
Dave, I got one to throw out. Or actually, this is for Peter. So Christian Kirk was actually the initial guy that made you realize the DFS was dead, where like he would be unowned, 35% on the week that he smashed. And DFS proved to be a little bit live last week. I think he was only like 8% owned in the SPY. Christian Kirk, but he has the smash last week. What happens to Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver ownership this week between Ridley, Zay Jones, and Christian Kirk? And is there he smashed last week, so we're off of him type meta here with Christian Kirk?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that one up because I've been wondering what people are going to do with Calvin Ridley at 7,200, where to me, this seems like the perfect spot to swing back to Calvin Ridley. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious if the market's going to do that. His price comes down. He burns people. Had a legitimately tough matchup. And I'm like as far from a Calvin Ridley apologist as you're going to find. But like the Chiefs defense is going to be really good this year, I think. So I like going back to Calvin Ridley here. But I don't know, is this going to be like the Ayuk Debo thing from last week, right? Where it's like the market's too sharp. We're going to swing back again to Debo and Ayuk, who just went off, is going to be actually the lower owned of the two guys.
Probably, right? I think we could also see more or less 11 personnel this week from the Jaguars. You know, they shipped it heavy to Kirk getting way more routes against the Chiefs. But, you know, it's somewhat predictable that they would do that in that type of environment. And Kirk is still running all his routes out of the slot. So I think
they were trailing last week and Ridley was playing poorly. So like it just opened up for him.
Yep.
Yeah. What happened with Keenan Allen last week?
What's that?
What happened with Keenan Allen last week?
Up good, baby.
I don't know if you heard, but the Titans are a pass funnel. And
that's what I'm saying. The last guy I'm going to mention before we move on is Amari Cooper, because I think he could have why are you shaking your head at Amari Cooper? We just
this is just Deshaun Watson bag defending right here.
This is not bag defending. This is, if anything, just saying he would be the guy we're for.
Step away from the bag, David.
In tournament.
Why wouldn't we be on Elijah Moore?
Elijah Moore. Yeah. If you're going to do that play.
Yeah. You're saving $1,000 and they have like the same profile.
Okay. Yeah. What happened if you did that last week with Keenan and Mike Williams?
Here you are charged with only caring about what happened last week in your defense. No, that Cooper scored more points last week.
I'm going with the data that we have over the past 2 weeks in order
the
to make
data is that they're getting the exact same amount of targets and routes.
Yeah, I'm just using the predictive stuff.
You'll see. FanDuel lineup.
Incredible stuff.
We got to go. Okay. I'm going to start this FanDuel lineup with Amari Cooper. Don't care.
Some legendary bag defending here from Soccer Dave.
We'll see.
Yeah, you'll see. Totally.
Pat?
You're going Amari Cooper. I will take... Should I take Jerome Ford? I'll take Jerome Ford.
No, $5,600. Don't.
Setting up the Giga Stack that against your Tennessee Titans.
Or someone's going to have to go with Tanny.
No.
All right.
Pete was just getting a call from Frentech. Someone actually posted his cell phone number in Frentech.
No, a real tech, appliance tech. My freezer and fridge died overnight, so I'm trying to get a guy over here ASAP.
Oh, miserable.
Oh,
yeah.
Snowflakes be melting over there. All right, let's. We got Jerome. I said Cooper, and then Davis doubled down with Jerome Ford, which is just terrible. Pat,
I'm gonna say that Davis is. I had my eyes closed when Davis was talking about Tank Bigsby being phased out. FanDuel famously, you got to get those touchdowns. I'm gonna say Travis Etienne has the goal line role against a run defense that ranks 32nd in PFF's run grades
for 8K. Whoa, someone is a multimillionaire, does not care about price. Okay, Peter?
Yeah, so we played Addison in the other lineup. I've heard that it's actually GTO to spend up for tight ends on FanDuel. Let's get TJ Hawkinson in here.
Okay. I like it because everyone's going to be playing Andrews or Kelsey, especially Kelsey. Okay, so it's back to me. We have to save some money. How are we going to do that? It's on FanDuel with a receiver. Things we've got to go ugly. I'll tell you what. Let's do this.
What about your boy?
If there's one person I can trust to get an ugly play into the lineup, it's one Mr. David Kitchen.
What about Judy?
I'm going to say
I was floating Mike Traylor.
I mean, he did get those long passes last week. I was going to say Michael Thomas against Green Bay, but whatever.
It's a really nice PPR lineup. This side is PPR, right?
Full
PPR.
I'm not putting this. I wouldn't put this lineup in a free roll.
I wouldn't either. I don't care how we finish it.
Why Michael Thomas?
That's bad.
Yeah, let's.
On halfway PPR? Yes.
Let's do Traylon.
Yeah, let's do Traylon.
All right. Okay. You can put this in the tropical throwdown, the splash, swimsuit, reroll now.
Okay.
We are just all in on by far the worst game of all time.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. Freezer guy's going to be here soon.
Yeah, okay. Pat?
I guess I'll go Cousins. Yeah, I don't want to do Watson, so I'm trying to save us from that.
Yes, thank you. Someone had to do that quickly.
Okay. All right, let's put in the Miami Dolphins defense. We have quite a bit of money to work with now.
Okay, we got 76.50 for a receiver and a flex P.
Okay. Let's see. I mean, wide receiver is kind of gross this week. I wonder if we go three running backs here. Let's see. Can we? No, there's no way we can fit Bijan, right? It's too much.
Ramondre is free on.
Yeah, Ramondre is 6,500.
That's great.
Yeah, but Kenneth Walker is 7,600.
Instead of Ford.
Whose pick was Ford? Isn't that how you started this?
Davis. Okay. He picked then it after Davis I picked Cooper.
Then Davis can defend if he wants to keep this in or not.
Yeah, Jerome Ford is the best points per dollar play, in my opinion, on FanDuel.
How about this? Do we have any love for Jahan Dotson?
Davis does, apparently.
I think McLaurin is more interesting, although I guess he's probably more expensive.
The price, was the only thing there. But I was just thinking of Commander's wide receiver here, chucking a bunch. We know Sam Howell isn't afraid to sling it in garbage time.
It's true.
But I'm fine with McLaurin, too. He's, what, 1,200 more expensive, 1,300?
Howell just forgets Dotson exists after the first quarter.
Yeah.
What does this leave us? 8,200 for flex? It's not bad.
I mean,
play Diggs.
Yeah, little Diggs. Olave.
Oh, yeah. We could do the Diggs
McLaurin Mini.
Diggs McLaurin Mini. Yeah.
Like yeah.
That. Beautiful. Heard you want wide receiver in the flex on FanDuel. It's at least worth the 17 seconds it takes to click into the free roll, I think.
I literally can't get log into FanDuel. They log me out every week, and they want me to reset my password every week. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm not doing, I'm never logging into FanDuel again. I'll log into something called the owner's box before I log into FanDuel. Like, what is the promo owner's code, box?
Promo code grinders there. Man, we could do, if you went Stevenson, ETN, and Kenneth Walker instead of Ford, you could get
that's
Pittman
a grown,
in
that's
there.
A grown, that's a grown man room.
Man, it is. All right. Real briefly, because we are way over. Again, Total could not be here. That's why we're going long with legendary upside owner Pat Corain. Do we have any tight end takes on the board? Chig got involved last week, and he's really cheap. Don't. You get,
I'm just don't let. Baseball. That's where you want to start the tight end conversation is with Chig.
I'm thinking of cheap tight ends.
I mean, Sam LaPorta, we should mention.
Yes.
With Amon-Ra banged up, he's running a lot of routes. Part of what they're doing.
Kitchen, if you're going to do your James Conner bit, you might as well toss out Zach Ertz. Yeah.
Ertz and Okonkwo are the two guys that are cheap that people are going to be playing. Maybe Kincaid.
Kincaid honestly sets up pretty well this week.
I never thought this was going to happen, but the Bills are actually literally 100% serious about Dalton Kincaid as a slot wide receiver instead of Hardy, Shakir, or Sherfield. Those guys are all playing very minimal snaps compared to Kincaid.
The other thing is that last week, both Kincaid and Knox saw their route participation decline. But I think that was probably because they were playing the Raiders, who just cannot stop the pass at all. And this week, they probably want to at least indicate to the Commanders that they're willing to run on them. Commanders are not very good against the run, and they're better against the pass than the Raiders. So I think Kincaid and Knox will probably be back to that week one, massive 12 personnel usage. And yeah, I think Kincaid's a good play.
What you said, this guy earlier, he went viral for an epic photo shoot catching his first touchdown, but Kylan Granson at 3,100.
I think this guy Drew Ogletree is going to be back this week. He was playing a lot of first team snaps in the preseason with the Colts, so doesn't feel that good. Downs is the one short king we haven't mentioned on this show, but he seems pretty good if Minshew starts.
Okay. I'm honestly going to play some Kyle Pitts. I think he's so cheap and he has such a big share of what they're doing downfield, and it's basically you're just betting on kind of a deep threat, kind of dart throw guy, but he has tight end eligibility. So
if Waddle doesn't play, will Smythe get any more target share?
Sure. Maybe a little, but he's not really – he's consolidated routes in a really nice way, but he's not – he's never really earned targets, and he's not earning targets at all. So I'm a little bit more interested in trying to play it through either Berrios or Craycraft, I think. But he'll be out there a lot. I mean, his 94% route participation is the highest in the league at tight end.
All right. Let's wrap this up. So I think that does it. Again, Tuttle cannot be on the show. If you missed it earlier, he is doing UCL projections. Not a bit. He is that's legit part of his job. And secretly, I think he likes it. And he does a really good job for RG and the team here. So going forward, we'll be starting at 1 Eastern, not 1:30 Eastern. So 1 Eastern, noon Central, just like the football game start on Sunday. And he'll be here for the first 45 minutes. That being said, special thanks to Pat Corain for being the guy willing to step up when literally no one else would. Pat, you can find his stuff at legendaryupside.com. I'm guessing it's more long form content by the analysis that he gave on this show.
Yeah, it no, is. You're and right. It's great. It is long form content.
Yeah. And it's and very good.
I narrated as well. If you want to check out the podcast feed, Legendary Upside Podcast, it'd be a free preview narrated, and premium subscribers can get the whole article narrated, which takes about 2 hours.
Love it. Davis, final thoughts?
Just don't play scared. Don't be it's okay to be a slappy as long as you're not playing scared. Those are the wisest words that I have to offer you.
Okay, and Peter?
I was just thinking, Dave, in the same way a lot of people, you know, bought Bored Apes solely for the number to go up. That's wrong. Right. You buy Bored Apes for the community. In that same vein, you don't watch the Swolecast for highly actionable information. You watch it for the community. And I just hope that everyone can take that lesson away from today's show.
Yeah, I appreciate that. special thanks to producer Sosa. He says he's not getting overtime for this, but he's actually a salary employee, so there is no overtime. And someone called Pat a step host, and I want to shout out Nathan Jones. He said, Pat's not the step host. He's the host who stepped up. So we love you, Pat. Special thanks to you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Here on the Swolecast, week 4 on RotoGrinders.com. Peace.